So shall we pray first and ask the Lord to bless us and give us wisdom and understanding? Our Heavenly Father, when we come before you, we ask that you give us the spirit of the fear of the Lord so that we fear you, for we know that we will receive a lot of blessing if we fear you. And I pray that you help your servant to explain your word and explain your word clearly to your children. And I pray that you help us to learn your decree, and so that we can experience your blessing. Lord, we not only want to recite and recount your word, we want to experience the blessing that you have for us in our daily life. And help us not just be the hearer of your word, and help us to meditate on your word and put what we learn into practice. Be a doer of your word, and help us not to deceive ourselves. Just like what the psalmist say, and keep us from deceitful way, and graciously grant us your law, for your law are good. And I handed the following time into your hand, and I pray that you help each and every one of us to walk in your light. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. You know what? You may not see the difference of memorizing God's word. You won't see a difference now. Wait until you get out of your parents' house, and then you earn for your own living, and then when you face difficulty and your parents not around, you know that no one can help you. If you have the word of God hidden in your heart, you can always hold fast to the statue, hold fast to the word that you memorize. And then you pray God to bless you. And I can guarantee you, he will bless you according to the promise he laid down in the scripture. And he will bless you according to the word that you have stored up within you. Okay? You may not know now. You can keep on just coming here and learn the Bible study. But you know what? When you face difficulty, you're going to fall. Each and every one of us is going to fall. But when you have the word of God hidden in your heart, and you can stand up, you can pray to God, and then he will deliver you, and your life be changed. And then you can say, the God of Abraham is the God of Isaac. The God of Isaac is the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob is the God of John Lamb. And then is the God of Joyce Lamb. You understand? Verse 33 is different from the previous one. The previous one say, teach me your decree. Twice it mentioned, teach me your decree. Once in, I think in verse 12. I'm sorry, teach me your decree. Is this in verse 12? Praise be to you, O Lord, and teach me your decree. Another one is in verse 25, if I remember right, in verse 26. Let me understand the teaching of your precept, and then I will meditate on your wonder. And somewhere say, teach me your decree, right? And then in verse 35, he didn't just ask for teach me your decree. He said, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decree. Teach me your decree is different from teach me to follow your decree. Coming to a Bible study just to learn the word of God is one thing. And learning it is one thing. Learning it and then you follow it. The first step you follow it is you meditate at home. You memorize at home. Without memorize it, no way you will follow it. You know what? You think memorizing the Word of God is tough? Doing it is even more tougher. If you have no idea, if you have no intention to memorize it, I don't think you have the ability to obey it. Okay? The psalmist know that. So that's why the psalmist asked the Lord, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decree." Not just teach me your decree, teach me to follow it. When you teach me to follow your decree, and he promised the Lord, then I will keep them to the end. I will keep your decree to the end until I see you face to face. And then you come before the Lord going to say, "You are good and faithful servant," and he's going to reward you. Some people keep God's way in the early stage of his Christian life, and then he walk away from God. Where does it say? In Psalm 4, in Psalm 119 verse 4, "You have laid down your precept. You have laid down precept that are to be fully obeyed." Verse 4. And then verse 5. "Oh, that my way was steadfast in obeying your decree." My way was steadfast in obeying your decree, but now my way is wandering away from the decree. You understand what I mean? My ways were steadfast in obeying your decree, but no longer now. If you obey the word of the Lord, then at that time, you will not be put to shame. If you walk away from the truth, you'll be put to shame. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's why the psalmist say, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decree." Not just teach me your decree. Teach me to follow your decree. It's a higher ground. Am I right? And he promised to God, "If you teach me to follow your decree, I will keep them to the end." So in other words, it is not enough to have the intention, to have the desire, to have your own will to do the will of the Lord, to follow God's way. If you have that intention to do it, it's not enough because we are weak. From time to time, we will stray from his command. So you need to pray to God. In verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decree." He is the guy that he not only has the desire to learn God's word, he also has a desire to follow God's word. And he also knows that he is weak. He has no ability to do it. He asked God to help him. "So teach me, O Lord, to follow your decree, and I will keep them to the end." 33, 34, and 35. 33 is teach me. 34, give me. 35, direct me. It's me. But you know what? This kind of prayer, the Lord like. "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decree, and I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart." We know that if we obey God with half-hearted, we won't be able to do it. He realized it. He needs to make a commitment before the Lord. At the same time, he asked the Lord to help him too. We all need to ask the Lord to give us a new heart, so that we love the Lord with all our heart. Isn't it in verse 2? Blessed are they who keep his statute and seek him with all their heart. They know that this is the blessed way, not half-hearted. If it's half-hearted, you know what's half-hearted, Moses? You come here, only listen. It's half-hearted. You won't get the full blessing. If you come here with all your heart, that's a blessed way. In verse 2, blessed are they who keep his statute and seek him with all their heart. And in verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me be put to shame. Because I seek you with all my heart. You understand? If you seek you with all your heart, the Lord will not hide his word, hide his command from you. You seek him with all your heart, he's going to reveal everything to you. And he's going to bless you 100%. You're going to reap what you sow. You give 50% of your heart to the Lord, your heart can only receive 50% of the blessing. And you make that commitment. If you give 100% to the Lord is going to give you 100%. Very likely, he's going to give you 200%. Because the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. If you love the Lord with all your heart, if you seek him with all your heart, he will give you more blessing than you can ever dream of, and then more than you can ever heard of, more than you can ever conceive in your mind. Do you get that? You can come here with 50% of your heart. You're going to reap what you sow. You may not see the difference now, because we are now only, we memorize only up to 40 verses. Wait until 22 weeks later. We're going to finish memorizing 176 verses. Every word that utter from our mouth will be the word of the Lord. And if the Lord know that, you fill your heart so much with the word of the Lord by honoring him this way. And when you are in trouble, you think he's not going to honor you? Even though you don't pray, you just meditate on it, he bless you already. Just like what the psalmist say, may the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. By the time when you memorize 176 Bible verses, you are so filled with the word of the Lord already. You understand? When people ask you question, you're going to answer him not with your own idea. You're going to answer him according to the word of the Lord. Am I right? You not only yourself get blessing, those who talk to you will be blessed too. The psalmist say, give me understanding and I will keep your law and obey with all my heart. Why would the psalmist say I will obey with all my heart? Because he wants to receive blessing from the Lord. Because that's the only way to get blessing. He learned it in verse 2. He learned it in verse 10. And he knows this is the right way. Could you write it down? In verse 34, you write down verse 2 and write down verse 10. What is verse 2? Blessed are they who keep his statute and seek him with all their heart. Verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your word. Do not let me be put to shame. Honor me, O Lord, because I seek you with all my heart. And then you ask the Lord to give you understanding. And you will keep his law. And you will obey with all your heart. In verse 35, direct me in the path of your command. Do you remember in verse 35? Compare with verse 32. I run in the path of your command. That is his desire. I want to run in the path of your command. But when you start running in the path of his command, you find out that sometimes you look around, you find out a lot of people, they don't run in the path of the command of the Lord. Sometimes you will stray away from his command. You understand? So that's why you ask the Lord, direct me in the path of your command. You understand? We know that. We are weak. Sometimes when you find out a lot of the classmates, a lot of the people, they come here to study the word of the Lord. If they don't memorize God's word, you know what happened? If I find out a lot of my classmates, they don't memorize, very likely, you're going to stop memorizing. Am I right, Jonathan? But if you find out 99% of them memorize, and you are the only one don't memorize, what happened, Moses? Then you start memorizing. Now I want to warn all of you now, okay? You're attending this Bible study, you can deceive yourself. We learned that from the Bible. Say, keep me from deceitful way. Why? I have chosen the way of truth. What's the way of truth? The way of truth is memorizing it. The way of truth is keep learning it. The way of truth is follow it. Right? Keep me from deceitful way. For I have chosen your statute. I have chosen your word. I have chosen your precept. I have chosen your decree. And I have set my heart on your law. Not on worthless things. You have to make that decision, man. You know what? If you're gathering around with people that who don't memorize Bible verses, no way you will memorize Bible verses. Daniel, do you hear what I say, Daniel? Do you want to be blessing to others or you want to be cursing to others? But are you a blessing to others now? You know the answer. According to what I just said? Then no, then, right? So you got to change, right? Ask the Lord in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decree. Don't just ask the Lord to teach you his decree. Because no way you will remember it. No way. Okay? I have been studying scripture for over 30 years, man. And I still forget it. Until I make a decision to memorize it. And you have no exception. And I don't think you're better than me. So do you want to be blessing to others? Or you want to be cursing to others? Okay? Christopher? Daniel? Joyce? Etta? Sally? And all these people are blessing to us. They make that commitment to memorize it. And I appreciate Jonathan too. Done a good job. Okay? I tell you how to do it. You see that? 40 Bible verses here. I write that down. And then I read it all the time. And then I dictate. And then I compare the notes with what I've written down. And then I meditate on it. On top of that, I get extra Bible verses, I memorize. You understand? I'm not telling you to do things that I'm not doing it myself. Because I want to be a blessing to you. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I learn how to pray through His Word. We love to deceive ourselves. We love to deceive others. That's why the psalmist say, keep me from deceitful way. And graciously grant me your law. I have chosen your precept. I have chosen your word. And I have set my heart in your word. I hold fast to your word. I hold fast to your teaching. Do not let me be put to shame. When I ask the Lord, do not let me be put to shame, will He not honor me? Will He not honor me? Those who memorize is the one that He can say, how I long for your precept. You know what? If you have no desire to memorize it, we can't say how I long for your precept. And how can I ask the Lord, preserve my life? Right? We don't even want to preserve God's word in my heart. You know what the Bible say? Your statutes are my delight, and they are my counselor. Your word are my life and my spirit. If you do not have God's word in your heart, how can you ask God to preserve your life? You understand what I'm trying to say? When I get God's word within my heart, He tells me what to do and what not to do. If you do not have God's word within your heart, you don't even know that you sin against God. That's why the psalmist says in verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Time and time again, we sin against God that we don't even know. How come we don't know? Because we forgot what God requires of us. But if we memorize it, I know right away. So that's why the psalmist say, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decree. I will keep it. I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding. I will keep and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your command. Sometimes we love to do our own things, even though we memorize Bible verses. Even though we have the Word of God within our heart, from time to time we have to ask the Lord to direct me in the path of your command. Because we stray from His command. What happens if I stray from His command? Did anyone know? In verse 21, you rebuild the arrogant who are cursed and who stray from your command. I don't want to stray from His command. The moment I stray from His command, I will be cursed. I don't get a blessing. I don't want to be cursed. You think I'm crazy? I don't want to be arrogant either. You know who are the arrogant ones? Jerry, do you know who are the arrogant based upon 21? Could you read that? What Bible that you have? I encourage you get an NIV Bible. Okay, get your daddy to buy your NIV Bible. Christopher, verse 21. What did the Bible say? Could you read it? Will the arrogant be blessed in front of the Lord? Who are the arrogant? Who are they? Olivia, you know the answer? You don't know? Daniel? Straight from his command is the arrogant one. I said, I don't care about what you say. I do my own thing. I stray from your law. Right? He's the arrogant one. Did the arrogant get blessing? Did he get blessing? Verse 21 and verse 1 to 3 is just the opposite end. One way you can get the blessing, the other way you get the cursing. Right? So you compare the note. You follow the one who strayed from his command. That's why you keep praying to the Lord, Lord, direct me in the path of your command. I run in the path of your command. Help me, O God. Alright? If you have the word of God within your heart, even though you stray from his command, then you know how to come back. You know that you are in deep trouble already. For those people who are arrogant, who walk away from the truth, he keep his own deceitful way, and don't even know that way lead to destruction. There's a way. It seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. Can someone read that to me? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 2. Chapter 14, verse 12. Brother and sister, I just want to do a survey. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. When you go to school, you don't bring your textbook, you don't do any assignment. Is that the right way, Emily? Do you need to do assignment? Do you need to write the exam when you go to school? What about going to a Bible study? Do you think just hearing it, just auditing the course is good enough, Moses? I just take auditing. You are doing auditing now. Think about that. Okay? The psalmist saying, verse 35, direct me in the path of your command. Why would he ask the Lord to direct him in the path of God's command? Because for there I find delight. If I stray from your command, I become an arrogant one. I will be cursed. I don't want to be cursed. I want to be blessed. That's why keep praying to the Lord. Lord, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your command. Right? Is that the right way? What's your name? Xian? Verse 36 to 37 is very good. It's turn. Turn what? Turn my heart and turn my eyes. Why would the psalmist ask the Lord to turn his heart and then turn his eyes? Because our heart is in the wrong place. Am I right? Joyce, our eyes in the comic book, not in the Bible, right? Olivia, Where is your heart? Where is your eyes? On the TV? You only give the Lord 1 hour on Tuesday? And from Monday to Sunday, you're watching TV? Do you watch TV? Do you love to watch TV? What's your delight? Jonathan, what's your delight?
TV.
TV. Verse 24. What's the delight of the psalmist? Your statue are my delight. Right? I delight in following your precept. I delight in following your statue. And they are my counselor. I rejoice in following your command. As one rejoices in great riches. That's a lot of choice in our heart, right? You can choose to love the world. You can choose to love God's word. What's your choice? Sometimes we make the wrong choice. So that's why we ask the Lord, turn my heart towards your statue and not towards selfish gain. A lot of the time, we want to gratify our sinful nature. Did any one of you memorize Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2? Chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live. When you follow the way of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. What happened if I follow the way of this world? If I set my heart in this world, what is the end result? Daniel?
Death.
There's a way. It seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. The psalmist knows the danger ahead of him. That's why he asked the Lord, turn my heart, trust your statue, and not trust selfish gain. Not gratify the sinful nature of our own desire. You know what? Just ask you a simple question, Joshua. Do you know how to play the computer game of the BlackBerry? Do you have a BlackBerry? Palm Pilot? You have one, right? I don't think at first you know how to play it. Your friends teach you, right? Right? But now, you learn in verse 33. He says, teach me, O Lord, so that I know how to play the Palm Pilot game. And then you be the champion of it. When you are in trouble, will you be able to ask the Lord, I'm a champion of the Palm Pilot. Could you bless me? Preserve my life. He said, you're on your own, my friend. But if I start memorizing God's word, and I know that I'm in deep trouble, and I say, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decree, and I will keep them to the very end. I will obey your decree with all my heart. Now I'm in trouble. Could you do good to your servant? And I will live. When I leave, I will obey your command. I will serve you. By saying so, do you think the Lord will bless you? Can you see the difference? I tell you the truth. A lot of Christians, they think it seems right to go to a church. Some Christians don't even bring Bible. Some Christians only bring Bible, don't even write down on the Bible. They don't even take the time to memorize it. That's why they are loser. Okay? Without the exam, all students are the same. You don't see a difference. After the exam, you see a difference between good student and bad student. In a trial and tribulation, in affliction and suffering, some fall, some stand. Then you know why some people fall down and some people stand up. You understand? Gabriel, do you understand now? What's your choice? What's your delight? For there I find delight. Direct me in the path of your command. For there I find delight. Nowhere else. Your statutes are my delight. And I delight in following your precept. Do not let me be put to shame. Honor me, O Lord. Set me apart and bless me. Bless me according to your promise. You pray to the God, turn my heart, trust your statue, not trust selfish gain. How do I ask the Lord to turn my heart, trust his statue? You write down God's word and put it in a piece of paper so that you can read it all the time. You understand? A lot of the time, we waste it. Do you drive to school or you take a bus to school? Take a bus to school? Don't look at things other than the word of the Lord, okay? All these things are worthless things. Then you ask the Lord, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Turn my eye, trust your word. Okay? You know what? If you do not ask the Lord to turn your heart, trust his statue, and not trust selfish gain, if you don't ask the Lord to turn your eyes away from worthless things, you're heading in the direction of death. That's why the psalmist say, preserve my life according to your word. Because I turned my heart already. Because I turned my eyes already. And I ask you to help me too. Turn my heart and turn my eyes. You write that down, right beside that, 26 and 27. You write down Proverbs 23:26. That's what King Solomon said to his son. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my way. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 26 talk about my heart and my eyes. What the Heavenly Father asked us to give him. A day before yesterday on Sunday is the Father's Day, right? Daniel, what did you give to your father? God's word? You give God's word to your father? What? Eh? Wow! What did you say to your father? Or you say, okay. Jonathan, what do you give to your father? Take him out for dinner. Now listen to me. Jonathan take his father out for dinner. Michael, what did you do on Father's Day? You give your father a pizza. How can you get the money to buy pizza? In Yellowbird, you mean you pay for a pizza, you give a piece of pizza to your father? Yeah. I ask you, what did you give to your father on Father's Day?
Just a
lot of pizza.
One slice of pizza.
What?
I need one piece.
Just one piece. According to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26, what did the father say to his son? My son, give me your heart. I tell you one thing. On the Father's Day, if you give your heart to the Father, that is the best gift that you have ever given to your Father. If you give your heart to your Father, that means, are you obeying your Father or you're disobeying your Father?
Obeying.
What happens if you disobey your Father? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Who is at work in you when you disobey your father? Who? The evil spirit. If you obey your father, who is at work in you? Joshua? The Holy Spirit. What's the best gift that you can ever give to your father?
Your heart.
Not take him out for dinner. Jonathan, let me tell you one thing. Assuming today is the day that Jesus Christ come back, and you are Christian, you'll be taken up to heaven. What happened to your father? He's going to face the 7 years of tribulation. And he's going to say, where's my son Jonathan? Wow, good for him. He go to heaven and leave me alone. And I'm left behind. So what should you do, Jonathan? What's the best gift you can ever give to your father?
Give him my heart.
How do you give him your heart?
By teaching him about the gospel.
Okay. The second gift. The heart and the eyes, they're hand in hand. Same as 36 and 37. Verse 36 and 37. Turn my heart, trust your statue and not trust selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless thing and preserve my life according to your word. The moment you ask the Lord to turn your heart, the moment you ask the Lord to turn your eyes, the Lord will preserve your life. Okay, because our heart and our eyes most of the time are set on the worldly things. But whereas in verse 30, it is different. The psalmist say, I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your law. Right? But when you find all your friends not in setting a heart on God's law, all your friends setting his heart on the iPod, iPad, so what happened? You stray away from his command. But you find out when you stray away from his command, you find out you have no peace. Then you pray to the Lord, Lord, do not let me stray away from your command. Turn my eyes from worthless things, this is worthless things, and preserve my life. You got that? We face a lot of trial and temptation every day of our life. We need to keep praying to God. Okay? My son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my way. It's God's way. I have set my heart on your law. I have made up the decision already. Although you make that decision, from time to time you stray away from the Lord too. But if you don't make that decision, 100% you stray away from the law. You understand what I mean? You make that decision, that be your intention to follow the Lord, that's your will, and then you ask the Lord, help me. Turn my eyes away from worthless things and preserve my life. You got that? and verse 38. Oh, I love verse 38. When you've done all this, from 33 up to 37, then you ask the Lord, fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. You know what? The Chinese translation is different from the English one. But I found out the English one is even better. I tell you why. Verse 38, you write down right beside verse 38, you write down Psalm 103, verse 11, 13, and 17. There are threefold blessing for those who fear the Lord. First of all, God's love towards you is great. Secondly, God's compassion towards you. Thirdly, God's love towards you is everlasting. Verse 11, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so is my love towards those who fear me. As a father has compassion to his children, so is God's love, so is God's compassion towards those who fear the Lord. These talk about, the verse 11 talk about the magnitude of God's love. It's great. And verse 17 talk about the duration. It's from everlasting to everlasting. When you fear God, let me tell you, my children, when you fear God, God will show his great love towards you. And his great love is never ending. It's from everlasting to everlasting. Moses, could you read that? Psalm 103, 11, 13, and 17.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children.
You know what? When you fear God, you shun evil. When you fear God, you follow his command. His love is with you from everlasting to everlasting. His love will never depart from you. So that's why the psalmist asked the Lord, fulfill your promise. Your promise of God's love is great magnitude. Your compassion, just like the heaven, just like the earthly Father had compassion on me, I ask that you have compassion on me too. Okay? God say, I will have compassion on those who fear me. Right? And his everlasting love is with you if you fear him. Then you ask the Lord, Lord, fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. I want to fear you, because by fearing you,